So we're here on Brighton's Royal Mile, which is a new road on Fringe City. Jim Walker, here in Brighton particularly, which some people still call the gay capital of Europe, outing isn't what it once was, is it?
Well, you've got me on the spot there, because coming from Southern California, we just got here 6 hours ago, yeah. So... But I guess
yeah, I guess I'm talking about the play, really, because the play, the Normal Heights, really goes back to a time where your life could be transformed by being outed, couldn't you?
Yes, thank you. And that's exactly what the play is about. It's about how this has changed over time. Yeah. You know, as I was creating it, it was inspired by the journals of my uncle, who was a gay man who was outed in the 50s very dramatically. And I kept asking that question, how is this relevant today? Why tell this story today? And every time I would find myself asking that question, something new would hit the papers about an intolerant pastor or politician or a new law about, you know, restricting gay marriage rights and these sorts of things. So the different facets have changed, but the central agon or struggle is still there.
At the Edinburgh Fringe, and down in Brighton, I noticed there's a lot of verbatim theatre happening here. How have you treated those journals? Have you taken things word for word or transposed?
Oh, no, we've interpreted. In other words, there are three characters in the show. It's a one-man show, but there are three characters. Edward's words are almost exclusively his. We took some poetic license. But then his stories are blended with my own as a young man growing up in Southern California about 30 years after him. And that story has much more to do with the silence around my uncle and his life. And one of the taglines for the show is silence teaches its own lessons. And so what did it mean for me? I always wondered, why do we never talk about Uncle Edward and Tola? They lived together, and I was always just told that they were friends. And I had to fill in those gaps for myself. And then my own maturation and sexualization process, growing up with the model of James Bond and other, you know, womanizing bedhoppers, and what it means to be a man, scare quotes into the mic here.
So here in this city, which is the host of Gay Pride every year, where people really celebrate their sexuality in this city, how do you stage that time? How do you go back there and evoke that on stage? And you're using an intimate space like the Jukebox Theatre. So how do you bring that into a space like that?
So I was very fortunate to collaborate with Gary Grundy, who's the composer for the Denver Center for the Arts in Colorado. Fantastic musician, and we composed six original songs that are very much in the style. I'll put it this way, we were inspired by music of the times, from Uncle Edward and Tola's lives from the 40s through the 60s, and then my own experience growing up in the 80s, 70s and 80s. So we've got a lot of cabaret style, sort of Frank Sinatra and Jerry Lee Jones inspiration, and the it's sort of an epistolary style, and so you'll see unsent. Well, we represent letters that I wish had been sent, messages that I wish had connected during Uncle Edward's life.
Can you take us into your rehearsal room and give us a flavor?
Rehearsal room.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of singing off key. That's before we're warmed up, to get us warmed up. Yeah, this is my brother, Adam. He's the musician. So he's on the keyboards, and we're getting warmed up. And then it's just running a lot of the songs. I'm not sure where this will be broadcast, so I won't sing some of the lyrics, but it's for adult, intended for adult audiences. It's about sexuality. Again, it's about masculinity. And so... you know, it's also about, as I've already said, speaking what, at least in my experience and my family growing up, was largely unspoken. And so there are a lot of tales that get told. And yeah, there's one song, for instance, that is called Come Clean.
Right.
And you already get the double entendre. Yes, very good. So it's, yeah.
And in terms of playing more than one character then, back in that rehearsal room, how are you inhabiting different characters in a one-man show? What's your process for that?
So Tola is the host. He's a very large cabaret-style figure. And so I get to, I have to sort of embody the whole space. He's a character that when he enters, he owns the room. And that it is impossible not to listen to him. And then Edward is a much more refined and reserved character. And so he stands much more upright. And there are certain postures, of course, that indicate each character. And then there's Jimmy, who just sort of, Jimmy. He just is a kid trying to figure out what these cultural messages mean. So I'm not sure how this is playing on radio, but, changing the postures indicates a lot.
And in terms of our audience, also a lot of theatre makers and people that love theatre listen and read Fringe Review. So when you come to a new venue like the Jukebox, which might be very different from another venue you played, how do you claim that space?
It's always about sort of negotiating the space, I would say, figuring out what's going to work. Then again, the nice thing about this show is that we actually sought out smaller venues because it's meant to have that intimate feeling and that intimate connection with the audience. A quarter of the time Tola is off stage. He's interacting with the audience. He's asking them questions. We want to bring these things up close, not in an in-your-face way, but in an inviting way. What are we so silent about? Can we talk here? That sort of experience.
What was your experience when you discovered the journals?
That was after my Uncle Edward had been killed in a very sudden accident, so that's sort of redundant. It was horrific. It was horrible. And I actually had them in my possession for 7 years, knowing as soon as I opened them up, I was just overwhelmed by the beauty of the language, the expression, and the honesty of them, because there's so many things that, again, growing up as a gay man through the 40s and 50s, so much that he was unable to say. And finally, there he was. This was months after his death. His voice was alive to me, saying these things that I had always wanted to hear, just not for the content, but just for the honesty, just who he really was and what he really felt. So it was powerfully affecting, and I knew that there was something to be done with them, but it took me 7 years to process it enough to be able to.
Final question, perhaps the hardest one to answer. I don't know if you will answer it, but if your uncle's spirit were able to walk into the theatre, to sit at the back, to witness the performance, to come up to you afterwards, what do you think he'd say to you?
Well, I can tell you what I hope he would say. And knowing him, We actually had a very honest and close relationship in his later years. I was very fortunate to break through in a certain way, and he was very vocal about how much that meant to him. That my wife and I would ask him questions about his love life, about his romantic life, and how exceptional that was for him. And so I hope and trust that he would be as proud as he always was of me and my theater efforts growing up, and I hope that he would feel honored as well.
Jim Walker, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.